There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Welcome to our continuing live coverage of the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. You're listening to The Grill, a very special grill for you this afternoon, with you through all the way through till 7 o'clock. Then we hand over to Robbie, Chris and the rest of the team for live coverage and updates from the men's final. And what a men's final we have to look forward to a little later on. A replay of one of the shock matches of the Australian Open, the recent Australian Open. Stefanos Tsitsipas, the young pretender from Greece, taking on the old master, Roger Federer. That one not before 7 o'clock this evening. Doubles action before that. So tennis will be one of our main focuses, but also keeping across all the other big sports stories of the day. London Derby to kick things off in the Premier League in the next 25 minutes. Tottenham take on Arsenal. Then a whole host of games to look forward to. Man United, Southampton will be our feature game live here on the show a little later in proceedings, just after 7 o'clock. And then stay tuned from 9:30 this evening. Live coverage of West Ham against Newcastle here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Testing in the world of Formula One. We've got rugby for you in both hemispheres, both the south and the north, and have plenty of cricket also to keep you updated with, plus a wrap of all the big sports stories from across each corner of the globe. This is The Grill. It's a special one. We're live from the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
This is where we get involved with the grill panelists and welcome them to the show. Unfortunately, we've only got one here at the moment, but that is Ross Christ. I'm in good company. Good to have you on board, Christo.
Yeah, it's great to be back down here at Irish Village. Beautiful day out here, but if you're going to come down, maybe bring a jumper. It might get a little windy out there tonight.
So you got the memo.
I did get the memo, and I think our good friend Carlos Van Rosenfeld is probably listening on as he drives down Sheikh Zayed Road right now, because he wanted to head back to Barasti. He didn't get the memo that we're not there till next week.
Now, you and I count Carl to be a good friend of ours. I think he likes his tennis. He loves his tennis. He loves Roger Federer.
Big Federer. I think he has a poster of him above his office. So
has he not dropped an absolute clanger today?
There must be something going on at home with Carl. We'll talk to him when he gets here. We'll really grill him what's really going on in the Van Rosenfeld household.
Ross Christ alongside us. Looking forward to this one, Christo?
Oh, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful tennis match. Can't wait for this. The doubles just looks like they just walked into the tennis arena right now. They're warming up out there, so can't wait for the main showcase. Mr. Federer going for 100, the century mark. He is the GOAT, and it will be awesome. It's kind of the new age versus old age type of match going against the 37-year-old greatest of all time, Roger Federer, so I can't wait for that. Elsewhere in the world of sports, looking back at what's happening across the pond, we have the NBA in full swing, hockey as well, and guess what? It's spring, so baseball is back. It just seems like we are crowning the World Series champions last week, but they're back and playing down in Florida. They're playing out in Arizona as well, and Antonio Brown once out of Pittsburgh, so we'll look at that trade demand a little bit later today.
All of those stories and much, much more. I've been coming down to this tournament for what, last 18, 19 years now. That might seem a lot. Man alongside me, though, has been here since the beginning. It is, of course, the man behind, the brains behind CF Tennis Academy and CF Tennis brand, Mr. Clark Francis, is alongside me. I don't think, in all my years, Clarky, of coming down here, I don't think I have seen longer queues to get into a stadium an hour before the doubles start, let alone the singles.
I'm gobsmacked by the size of the crowds right outside our gate. It goes all the way down almost to the bulkhead tent. And this is pre the doubles, as you said. Half of my guests who I've invited are just not going to get the seat they wanted, I don't think.
They are big. We've had big crowds down throughout the entirety of the week, and obviously there's no big surprise there. The Roger Federer effect has come to play here. He's out there on court at the moment, warming up, so his last preparations, if you like, ahead of his final at 7 o'clock. And I suppose from a tournament point of view, we've got the ideal final for the tennis purists out there.
The dream final. We couldn't have written it, and it's been marvellous. What a week it's been. We sat here on Monday and said there's nothing like a Federer night, and we've had four already, and aren't they all magnificent? But tonight is going to be super special.
And what do you reckon? Do you reckon he's got... Because he hasn't glided through this tournament. He's had to work quite hard, certainly in the earlier rounds, although last night he just seemed to be on a different stratosphere.
I did send a message to the lads last night while they were commentating, and I said that Will was a little bit worried about how Coric was going to take care of him, and I said, don't worry, he's got another gear. He's going to use it tonight, and then you'll see, in my opinion, you'll see another one tonight, and I think he'll be successful this evening.
Alongside you, to your right, your right-hand man, is Coach Andres, alongside us as well. Andres, let's get your thoughts on this one as well. An intriguing final to look forward to later on. And as was mentioned just earlier, a few moments ago, two players from, well, specifically, from two different generations and two different approaches to the game.
Yes, correct. Tsitsipas is showing a lot of confidence. It was very nice to hear him yesterday talking about how relaxed he was on the court, playing the match, a difficult match against Gaemo Fields. And he's a very, very dangerous player when he's playing relaxed. The ball is running really very fast, and Roger has to play his best game to win today.
Really looking forward to this one. Listen, Clarke, you've had some great coaches work with you down the years. How far up the list is this man alongside you, Mr. Coach Andres?
I currently have the two best coaches on the planet, in my opinion. This is not just Coach Andres, this is Coach Andres Gimeno, whose father won the French Open.
Yeah.
He's been magnificent. He joined us 8 years ago when we had a change of strategy to try and produce some performance players. And we have two of the girls that he's produced with us this year, and that's what we're really on here to talk about these girls and the prize that they've won. I can't not mention Mr. Guntley, who's currently out on court with Henry Continent.
Oh, right.
No, he's warming up, Federer's warm-up partner,
yeah,
if that makes sense. And we ran out of hitters, so John's had to go out there and do it on his own.
He's out there at the moment. Andres, in terms of that wealth of tennis knowledge that you bring to the table, you've brought to the bye over the last 8 years or so here with the CF Academy, how good is the talent that you've been able to work with here? Is it getting better at the moment?
Well, we're going to have a discussion about talent. I think it's more about work, and it's about the daily work and commitment and values and habits, and all these things are producing players. Without all these things, daily work and be very patient with that, is no way. Every country, every place where I've been, there's possibilities to produce players, but you need to find the players that they commit, and then they have all these values to keep going on, you know. Producing a player is not that difficult. The difficulty is to keep going during the time and find the players that they commit on this very, very long journey, which is becoming a tennis player.
One of the standout features of the event, the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships in recent years, has been the ball kids, the ball boys, the ball girls that you are responsible for, Clark, you and all your team as well. We talk about achievers. We're going to meet two of them in just a few moments' time. The question I meant to ask you, does every ball kid have to be a tennis player?
Absolutely not. Every ball kid has to be motor coordinated and pretty agile, pretty quick. It does help if they're a tennis player, understanding the nuances of a tennis player, understanding the ups and downs of a tennis player during a match and finding a way and understanding the mood changes within the match. It does help if they're tennis players, but it's not a prerequisite.
One thing that I've loved about recent years here is raising the bar, and you've done that over the last couple of years in more ways than one. Two shining examples of raising that bar are in front of us. We're going to be speaking to the girls in just a few moments' time, but before we do that, set the scene, if you can, Clark, about this O2 adventure that you set out on, what, throughout the entirety of this season or not?
I have to say I can't take any credit for this whatsoever. On Monday, I received an email from Dubai Duty Free, the organisers or the owners of this event, and together with FedEx, they put together an initiative whereby they've chosen Dubai to give two ball kids to the O2 Masters. The O2 Masters is the end of season, massive event, the best eight players in the world. It's held at the O2 Arena. They normally choose 30 ball kids from the entire UK. They go from London to Birmingham, to Manchester, Newcastle. This year they decided to choose only 24, with two from Shanghai, two from Rio, and Dubai was taken as the third city, which we were absolutely delighted about. Our column's delighted about it. Oh, the whole team are delighted about it, and we're flattered that we've been chosen. And it's testament to the quality of the ball kids that we've managed to put on the court for the last 5 or 6 years. And you're about to speak to the two lucky girls who have been chosen.
And indeed I am. Kumba Ben and Stefania Budjica, thank you so much indeed for being with us. Let's start with you, Kumba, first and foremost. How much of an honour is it going to be for you to represent not just your country of origin, Mali, but also the UAE over at the O2 event?
Oh, I think it's an unbelievable opportunity that Mr. Clark and Dubai Duty Free and Andreas, my coach, is giving us, and I am just delighted, and I'm speechless right now. And since yesterday, since they told me, I am flattered and honored and everything else.
So you got that news yesterday. Was it the same for you as well, Steph? Did you get the news yesterday?
Yeah, I got the news.
And what were your initial reactions?
I was shocked too. I was speechless. I couldn't believe it, that it was real life, and I was excited to be there.
Is it something that you had to think twice about, or did you accept straight away, Kumba?
I really didn't. I thought it was a joke. First, I thought it was a joke because I wasn't even supposed to come yesterday. So when I came, he just pulled us in his office and he told us, and it didn't enter in my brain. I was just processing it for the whole day yesterday. Still, I can't believe it till now I am chosen.
And for you, Stefania, as well. I mean, is this something that is a sort of dream come true for you to be able to take something you've done here in the UAE but also do it back in the UK?
It is a dream come true because there's the top 8 players are coming to the O2 tennis stadium, and there's 19,000 seats there, and there's so many people watching you, and it's an amazing opportunity.
From what the girls have, the standards they've risen to here, Clarkey, will they have to go through more training ahead of that event as well?
They will. It was one of the criterion that they're actually going to arrive about 3 days before the event starts. All ball kid trainers have got different methods. As I told you at the beginning of the week, I looked at Roland Garros, I looked at US Open, we looked at Wimbledon, and I tried to take the best bits of all three, and then we put them into our training program. I believe our kids are the best on the planet. I really do. Don't we, kids? Yeah, they're all over there. They can't hear what I'm saying. Very good. Anyway, so yes, they will, because they will have slightly different procedures to follow with the children that have been trained in Shanghai, in Rio, and in London.
And Andres, from a coaching point of view, you know, you were talking about talent a little earlier on and the hard work. Are these two young ladies that personify that hard work attitude and ethic that you're talking about?
Well, let me tell you something. These girls, during the last 2 years, have been coming really very early every morning to train. They don't have a no in the mouth for any kind of training. Together with that, these two ball kids are been ball kids for already 6 years already, 7 years for Kumba and 7 years also for Steffi. So they are really very experienced, and they have been cooperating in all kind of things during the event. And they really deserve it, you know. I have to say that, because Kumba mentioned that Clark and I, we didn't give the prize to them. Yeah. I mean, we give them the news, but they were being chosen by the ATP representatives. They were looking after all the ball kids, and we have 120 of them, and they were looking after them, and then they communicate us that these two players were the selected ones.
It's an extraordinary story, and one that obviously will follow all the way. Finals are end of the season, is that right? Is that when it takes place?
November the 8th to the 18th, yes.
Okay, so obviously it's something we can build up towards as well. Girls, over to you. In terms of that 7 years of being a ball kid here in Dubai, what do you think it has taught you about the game as a whole? Have you learned new things every single year, Kumba?
Absolutely. Every year you meet new players, and every player don't come back the same. They have new strategy and they have new ways of facing each point. And I'm glad I could take that and put into my tennis and hopefully become a better tennis player. And it's just an amazing opportunity. Mr. Clark and the Dubai Duty Free and my coach Andres that's giving us is unbelievable.
She's good. She says all the right things, I tell you. She's going to go far this one, I tell you. She's got a huge future in the game ahead of her. Steffi, alongside you as well. I mean, one thing that I look around and love about the ball kids year on year got boys, we've got girls, but all ages as well, different age groups. Do you find that having done it for several years, seven seasons now, you're able to give experience and advice to some of the younger ones coming through the ranks as well?
Yes, of course. I teach the other ball kids and try to help them every single day. When they go on court, I tell them what they did wrong, what they did correct, and I help them every single day.
Well, listen, it's something that obviously you're going to be doing much more of as well. Time to just to dish the dirt a little on a few of the players, because 7 years of ball kidding out there on centre court, you've worked with some of the best of the game. So who was the best player to ball kid for during those 7 years? Who was the best one that springs to mind for you? Be that funny, be that polite, be that gentlemanly, or otherwise. Who was the best one for you during the time?
I think Roger Federer. He's an exceptional tennis player, but he's a natural. He's amazing. It's unbelievable what he can still do at this age, and he's in the finals right now, and I'm supporting him full way, although I love Tsitsipas, but Roger is still amazing.
Federer for you, Steffi, of all players that you've ball-kidded for?
For me, Monfils. He's an absolute entertainer. He's so entertaining when you watch him. He moves really fast on court, and that's what I like about him.
Amazing stuff. And Andres, just to bring you in as well, I mean, we mentioned the benefit of having a tennis brain to take onto the court as a ball kid as well. Talk us through these girls' games. Are they coming along nicely at the moment?
Well, I'm really proud of them. They are both participating in international tournaments in the ITF. They are jumping up on the rankings very fast. We have big hopes on both of them. And like you say, being a tennis player is helping them to anticipate situations on court that if you are a ball kid without experience, it's very difficult. So if you see them on court, you will see them probably today on the first rotation. You will see that they can anticipate what is going to happen and very quickly distribute the balls in a way that the players have the right time to go through the point without any interference. And this is what makes a ball kid an exceptional ball kid.
Concur, Mr. Clark? Do you agree?
I'd like everybody to watch them. They'll be on first rotation for the singles. And you will not see two better ball kids anywhere in the world.
Well, girls, congratulations again on the great news. And, of course, we will be touching base with you ahead of those finals in London a little later on this year. Kumba and Steffi, thank you very much indeed for being with us. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. Tsitsipas or Federer? I think I know which way you're going to go. You think it's Federer's tournament, don't you?
Yes,
yeah?
Yes,
Steffi,
course.
For you, Tsitsipas or Federer?
I want Tsitsipas, but I do want Federer to win his 100th title here.
Okay, well, we're going to keep an eye on both of those. Congratulations again. Great
you.
Achievement. Keep up all the hard work as well. Well done to both Kumba and Steffi. Coach Andres, thank you so much indeed for being with us, explaining a bit more. And you, big man, as well. Thanks for being with us, as
You're
always.
You're very welcome.
We will, of course, be crossing swords yet again before the end of this tournament. Our thanks to Clark Francis and all the team. Just one final one from me, Clarky, before you get your kids onto court. If people are listening and say, oh, I quite fancy that. I quite get involved for the next year's tournament or something. Best way for them to do that?
The best way is simply to keep an eye on us. We start training from September, and we take kids from as young as 9 if they're good tennis players. But anybody who's playing in tournaments or part of the Federation or part of CF Tennis or any other academy, we open our doors for ball kid training September 2019.
We keep an eye on that one, and as I said, you can find out all the details on the CF Academy, Clark Francis Academy tennis website, social media platforms, and much, much more. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more build up ahead of what promises to be a cracker men's final day down here in Dubai.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Live from the 2-3 Tennis Championships and all sorts of excitements down here. Why? Because a certain Roger Federer has just made his way past our commentary position to the near hysteria of a number of... Ross Crist alongside me. Is there another man, certainly not in tennis, I'm thinking in sport, that garners such interest from across the globe, wherever he goes?
Tiger Woods. I'd say Tiger and Roger probably get that everywhere they go. The swarms, the crowds, the wanting of autographs, the selfies. I can't imagine the amount of babies he's probably signed his autograph on over the career he's had.
I've been down here for the entirety of this week, throughout this year's Budget Free Tennis Championships. I certainly haven't seen crowds like I've seen this week down here. But this sense of anticipation, this sense of excitement, this sense, this aura that is around the man is quite extraordinary. And it just seems to get bigger, which is bizarre.
Clark said it. It's the Federer effect, and we've had four nights of Federer now. And anywhere he goes, he's going to put more people in the seats. He certainly has that power. But I think there's a certain trend right now in sport that we're starting to see athletes who are performing at their age at a certain age right now being like the hot ticket. You look at Tom Brady in football. You look at what Floyd Mayweather does in the boxing ring. These guys should be retired. They should be at home enjoying the benefits of retirement, but they're still competing at this late age in life. And I think it's a trend in sport, and people want to see these people in high-level competition.
The other thing that I've noticed about the Federer effect, or Federer fever, that has certainly encapsulated everything and everyone down here over the last couple of days, is the brand, you know. And I can't really think, you know, I know a lot of sports brands, as do you as well, and there are iconic brands like LA Dodgers, like New York Giants, like Manchester United, Liverpool, Real Madrid, whatever. But the Roger Federer brand is everywhere, you know. It's being, you see people coming down here dressed from head to toe in Roger Federer apparel. You see the brand being used in signs out there in the crowd, amongst others as well. He's really sort of taken that element by the scruff of the neck and moved it forward.
Well, you have to look back at Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the first real athlete to grab this and really benefit from it, and he's made it, you know, a billion-dollar industry off of that. And other athletes took his model, took his mold, and they're doing it for themselves. From all the way to the C-level players on the bench, they're still trying to get these endorsement deals. But Federer's really, really done well with himself, and it helps if you succeed on the court, if you succeed on the field, if you succeed on the pitch. Your brand is certainly going to do better. You're going to sell the hats, you're going to sell the shirts, you're going to sell the rackets as well. So we're seeing Federer reap that reward.
Let's talk football if we can. Why? Because we've got kickoff in the first game in the Premier League. Seven Premier League games this afternoon. Spurs hosting Arsenal in the early kickoff. Tottenham making three changes from their midweek defeat. It's a strong-looking side as well. Jan Vertonghen, Danny Rose, Victor Wanyama come in. Harry Winks, Eric Lamella and Ben Davies drop out. So Tottenham look like this. They've got Loris, Sanchez, Alderweireld and Vertonghen in a three-man holding back three. And then into the midfield, Rose, Sesko, Wanyama and Trippier. Eriksen holds that central role with the two men out wide, Kane and Son up front. If it is five changes for Arsenal from their 5-1 win against Bournemouth, Shkodran Mustafi, Aaron Ramsey, Alexandre Lacazette, Alex Iwobi and Granit Xhaka take start in place of Aubameyang, Mesut Ozil, Lucas Torreira, Siya Kolasinac and Carl Jenkinson. So Arsenal with Leno in goal, Koscielny and Papastathopoulos at the back. Monreal down one wing, Mustafi down the other as the wing-backs. Xhaka and Guendouzi hold those central roles with Iwobi, Ramsey and Mkhitaryan just behind Lacazette up front. Keeping an eye on this one for you throughout proceedings. Let's hear now from the managers. Let's start with the home manager, shall we? Unai Emery, 4 minutes in, no goals in this one. Emery was asked, obviously, a lot about a certain Mesut Ozil, and this is what he had to say.
For us, we are doing a plan for a lot of matches, and also each match is different, at home, away, it depends on the opposition, how we are in each moment. And for me, the most important, every player can be okay for tomorrow and with the decided to play. And I think now also, Mesut is with this decided to play tomorrow.
So Gunners leaving both Ozil and Aubameyang on the bench for this one. No goals and just 6 minutes in. It is a London derby, and it's one that Unai Emery is looking forward to.
I think we can feel stronger with our supporters at home, and they are going to feel, I am sure, the same tomorrow. But we need to be concentrated, to play our game, doing the focus with our strong things on the pitch, tactically, individually.
What about his opponent and the home manager for this one? It is Tottenham Hotspur hosting Arsenal this afternoon over at Wembley. Let's hear now from Mauricio Pochettino, who was asked about the fitness and the form of Harry Kane.
He's a player that care about the club, care about the team, care about the result, care about everything, and it's normal to behave like this. I think the reaction is fantastic from my point of view, because he's a player that care about what is happening there. And I think the strange is should be different if he not react or he not show that character, you know, showing this character, show the message that he care about the result, he care about the situation, he care about the club. That is the most important for my, under my point of view, of course.
He was also asked about their opponents today at Wembley, Arsenal.
I think we know very well what it means to play against Arsenal. We know very well that we are going to be motivated, and in front we are going to have a team that very motivated too. We played twice this season, one Premier League game that we lost, another Carabao Cup that we won, and of course it's going to be tough, the third game on the season against Arsenal. They have a very good players, they are doing a very good job. Unai Emery is a great manager, I know very well him, and of course it's going to be tough, always a derby. Always was tough after my experience here, nearly 5 years. Every time that we play against Arsenal was a tough game.
No goals as yet. 6 minutes in, Tottenham against Arsenal is your early kickoff in the Premier League, and I will keep an eye on that one for you throughout the remainder of the show. He's back. The man has found us. Now, I hope you didn't take offence at us having a little giggle at your expense, Mr. Carlos van Rosenfeldt. I'm sure you were listening in the car as you were heading on down the Sheikh Zayed Road, trying to avoid any road closures in and around the UAE tour, which came to a conclusion earlier on today. But you're back here at the moment, and we just marvelled, you know, our biggest tennis fan and our biggest Federer fan dropping a clanger.
Tom, I think the stars have aligned, because this morning I was desperately looking for a ticket because I've been here the whole week, and unfortunately I couldn't organise one for today, believe it or not. All my contacts like Ross, Chris and the likes couldn't get me one, and somehow I ended up coming here. So yeah, but I'm blaming the boss. I've had a word with Chris McCarty on the memo, didn't state the tennis stadium, and that's the reason why I ended up at Barasti. But if anybody's wondering, fantastic up at Barasti. It's lovely weather. People are all chilling, enjoying the North London Derby, but good to be down at the tennis. And as you mentioned, Roger Federer trying to make it 100 this evening. And as I say, the thing that I'm upset the most about is if I knew I was coming down, I would have had my Federer cap on, my Federer jacket.
You just missed him.
Else I've been wearing this week. So yeah, Tom, what a fantastic evening and atmosphere at ease down here at the Irish Village. And as I say, the question on everybody's lips is, can Roger make it the big 100 this evening? I believe he can.
We will wait on with interest and, of course, build up towards that one a little later on. What's going on in the Spanish La Liga at the moment? Espanyol against Real Valladolid. That's your early kickoff over there. They've been going for 38 minutes now. Kicked off at 4 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Espanyol 1, Real Valladolid 1 is one apiece after 38 minutes. Villarreal take on Alaves. Huesca at home to Sevilla. And then the biggie at 11:45 this evening. It is El Clásico, Real Madrid against Barcelona. These two just seem to be playing each other every other weekend at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, it just seems to continue every, as you say, every single week. But yeah, it's been pretty interesting, and Real Madrid rather struggling in the El Clásico. Barcelona definitely seems to have something over them this weekend. Tom, of course, a lot of questions arise in this El Clásico. You know, a lot of people are now talking about it, taking it outside of the Spanish league, that we might see a game like this eventually played in the States. So it'll be very interesting to see. But no, as you say, one of the major clashes in world football.
So, football, we'll keep an eye on for you. What else is going on in the world of sport? Obviously, we've got testing in the world of Formula One, and already that one is sort of building up at the moment. All sorts of stories coming out of early season testing, getting the first sight of a couple of the drivers who've changed teams as well. Looking forward to 2019 Formula One season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be once again great. And what I'm hoping for is a little bit more of an even playing field, because I think what made Formula One so exciting the season that's just passed, Tommy, is that Ferrari was once again a lot more competitive, and they actually ran Mercedes very, very close for quite a a big part of the season. And of course, Lewis just showed his class. So, you know, Daniel Ricciardo going over to Renault, Kimi Räikkönen at Sauber, bringing a lot of experience into those teams. So I think it's going to make for an exciting season. Will anybody be able to stop? I've just seen a lovely lady in a teacup happening here. Sorry to be interrupted. Will that stop Mercedes-Benz? I still think it will be very, very tough this season. Of course, new regulations coming in with the wings and so forth. But other than that, I think when it kicks off in Melbourne this month, it's going to be very, very exciting.
Not really my cup of tea. Ferrari testing fastest down in Barcelona. Can we read too much into that at this stage?
No, not right now. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. Just what Carl Van Rosemid said. It's too early in the season. F1, we already know who's going to win it, though. Who will win it? Mercedes. I'm calling it now. Team Mercedes will win the whole entire thing. There you go.
Cricket aplenty for you, both here in the UAE and further afield. Afghanistan are taking on Ireland in a one-day international series. Afghanistan scoring 250 for 7 from 48.3 overs before the rain came down. That match has been delayed at the moment. West Indies take on England in another of the ODIs a little later on. That one starts at 7 o'clock. Currently live, though, over in India is India-Australia. And a fascinating game this is looking like it will turn out to be. Australia limited to 236 for the loss of 7 wickets from their 50 overs. India currently 22 for the loss of 1 wicket in reply. India therefore needing 215 runs to win from 44.1 overs. There's also a Aussie women against a New Zealand women, ODI in the part of the Women's One Day International Series between the two. And there is action right here in the UAE with Pakistan Super League. So we'll have details on all of that. Let's get to the world of rugby for you now. Been treated to some great games already. What about Sunwolves performance? Well, we're on.
Tom, I'll tell you what, that's been the surprise of Super Rugby this season. And we're only into the third week of Super Rugby. And what a display by the Japanese team. Of course, put a major dampener on Brodie Retallick celebrating his 100th game for the Chiefs this morning. But as I said, I don't think anybody expected that result this morning. And as you say, a fantastic performance by them. Once again, the Crusaders go marching on. They're just such a consistent team. They've now set a new record. The 8th consecutive win on the road for a team in Super Rugby. The Crusaders have once again got that record. They just keep breaking records. And there are some teams that have run them so close this season, but somehow they always seem to find a way to win. So, yeah, once again, in good form. The Crusaders winning this morning, beating the Reds 22 points to 12. The Sunwolves beating the Chiefs. That's the big surprise, 30 points to 15. And then, of course, a lot of derbies happening in football today, but nonetheless in Super Rugby. A derby of the North, the Lions take on the Bulls. The Bulls go south of the Yexke River. They'll be going to Emirates Park in Johannesburg this afternoon. And then later on in the evening, the Stormers are up in Durban. They take on the Sharks. That kickoff is at 7:15.
It was interesting, that one. I watched the Sunwolves game a little earlier on. Yeah, all that sort of pomp and circumstance for the Brodie Retallick 100th game down there in New Zealand for the Chiefs. And yet, they bring him off at half time and then they get thumped by 15 points as well. So it's not exactly, that's one way to dampen a situation, isn't it?
Yeah, I honestly didn't quite understand that. I thought, you know, it's your 100th game. Give the man at least a full 80 minutes. You know, he's currently the holder of the world try of the year. And, yeah, as you say, give him something to celebrate. But, yeah, Tom, quite a big, big surprise there from the Sunwolves. Because, as you said, they've struggled a bit to get started. The Sharks beat them, I think it was 2 weeks ago in Singapore. So, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. But, as you say, a fantastic, fantastic result for them.
Let's get a look at some of the club rugby you can expect up in the Northern Hemisphere as well. Gallagher English Premiership is back. In fact, it was back last night. Stayed up nice and late to watch this one. Gloucester looking for 3 wins on Friday evening games on the trot. Wasn't to be yesterday. Billy Twelvetrees missing a penalty late on. And Gloucester going down to Bristol for the first time in the Premiership history by just that single point over Ashton Gate. So another good game between those two. Is a bit of a West Country derby and plenty of games to look forward to today.
But just explain to me your cherry and whites. Last week they beat Log Leaders Exeter comfortably, but they seem to have that game in hand. And I mean, Bristol, the newcomers to the Premiership. Tom, honestly, I think it's the weekend of upsets. I really, really didn't expect that. Johan Ackerman finally seemed to kind of get that monkey off his back to winning ways, quite convincingly beating Exeter. And then, as you say, coming unstuck against Bristol last night. But I tell you what, that Bristol team, call it the Golden Oldies, but they got some big names in that team.
No, it was a really good game. I'll tell you what did for Gloucester, because I thought they were poor in the first half, and then they sort of came out all guns blazing. But two men into the sin bin, two yellow cards from 60 minutes to 70 minutes. That is just when you don't want two of your playmakers as well heading to the bins. They lost Marshall and one other around about that mark, and that's what did for them in that little period as well. I think if they had... Plus, I mean, Billy had the opportunity to win it. You know, he had a penalty... fairly straightforward penalty, just out to the left of the post, about 25 metres out, and slotted it wide. So had that gone over, two-point advantage going into the last 4 or 5 minutes it was, and it could have been a very different thing.
As you say, Bristol winning that one, 28 points to 24. Tom, what we got coming up today is Bath taking on Harlequins. That game kicks off at 7 o'clock this evening from the recreational ground. Sale take on Exeter. Sale just announcing this week that they will be signing Robert Tapria Jr. on a permanent contract. He will slot into the number 10 jersey there. He was on loan. It'll be very interesting to see him and Faf de Klerk make it up north there in Manchester. Leicester take on Wasps. That's from Walford Roads Stadium. Saracens take on Northampton from the Allianz Park. And a game tomorrow, Newcastle will be taking on Worcester Warriors. That will be kicking off at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening.
6:45 this afternoon, Connacht against the Ospreys. Benetton against Edinburgh is a 7 o'clock kickoff. Then you have to wait a little bit later for Scarlets against Munster at 9. 9:15, Zebra against Glasgow Warriors. And then at 11:35 this evening, the Cardiff Blues taking on the Southern Kings in the Guinness Pro 14, and over to the top 14 as well. Action getting underway in a few moments' time. Racing 92 taking on La Rochelle. That one a 5:45 kickoff here in the UAE. Sorry, a 4:45 kickoff in the UAE, as I said, getting underway any moment now. Montpellier against Bordeaux. Then you got Pau against Agen. Clermont-Auvergne taking on Grenoble, and Lyon are at home to Castres in the late kickoff. Lots of rugby to keep you entertained. Let's get more from the team in just a few moments' time.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
So we come back with news of a goal in the early kickoff in the Premier League. It's the London Derby. It's Tottenham entertaining Arsenal. Carl van Rosenfeld watching this one for us. Who scored?
Yeah, Tommy, what I can tell you is it's first blood to Arsenal. That's correct. Scoring a goal is Aaron Ramsey for the North London team. And as I say, just over 21 minutes played there. Arsenal 1, Tottenham 0.
Keeping an eye on that one. Building up to Roger Federer taking on Stefanos Tsitsipas in the men's final from 7 o'clock this evening, or not before 7. We've just seen the doubles players make their way out onto court. They will be in action just very shortly. Ben McLachlan of Japan and Jan-Lennard Struff of Germany taking on the fourth seeds of Joe Salisbury from the United Kingdom and Rajiv Ram from the United States of America. So players making their way into the main court, just making their way down the players' walkway as we watch out on the big screen down here in the Tennis Village as well for what will be the first of our titles to be decided in the men's division of 2019. Keeping an eye on that one for you, and then building up to the big one a little later on. Let's get some other news from the world of sport. Golf. Let's talk golf now. A couple of stories coming out of both of the tours at the moment. Let's start closer to home, when that news coming through over the last few days of a sandstorm causing play to be suspended on day two of the Oman Open, with only 11 players finishing their rounds. You were just commenting about the weather and how that's been affecting a number of events here over the last few days, and more so than the golf down in Oman.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I was on the golf course myself yesterday morning at Trump, trying to get in a couple of scores, and it was very, very difficult conditions. And that course in Oman, Al Muj, it's a fantastic course, but it's so difficult. On day one, with the wind blowing, in total 60 balls were lost that course. So, yeah, finding it very, very tough out there. And as you say, that European tour has been put on hold. But what I can tell you that is going ahead is the Honda Classic on the PGA Tour. They're playing for a cool $6.8 million this week. And it often makes me think, what am I really doing in this world? Currently at the top of the
very philosophic and reflective moment there.
Don't get too down on yourself, man, for going to Baraski today, all right?
Probably makes more one tournament than me in my lifetime. But anyway, we're through to round three. this evening will be kicking off. As I say, they're playing at the National Resort and Spa. The Champions course, of course, is the Honda Classic. As SJ Kim is leading that one. He's at 6 under par, tied at the top of the leaderboard with K Mitchell. Lucas Glover, the blast from the past, he is tied third at 5 under par. And then Danny Lee at 4 under par in the Honda Classic. So as I said, that will be kicking off a little bit later. Some other notable names is Brooks Koepka, of course. He's the holder of 2 major titles at the moment. He's tied fourth off at 4 under par. Jonathan Vegas, the early leader, he's at 3 under par. South Africa's Charles Schwartzel at 3 under par. And of course, Sergio Garcia, no tantrums so far from the Spaniard. He's sitting at 13th place at 3 under par.
We've also been playing host to the UAE Tour over the last week here in the UAE. It's the first time that we'd had a consolidated cycling race across all of the Emirates. I, for one, haven't really, because I've been so focused on the tennis and other bits and pieces, I haven't really kept bang up to date with it. But from what you've been hearing, fellas, a success for cycling here in the region to see the tour's consolidated as one national race?
Yeah, 6 stage of this tour, 180 kilometers encompassing all the Emirates. And I can tell you that cycling is alive and well here in the UAE, and especially from a local perspective. UAE locals are really into their cycling as well. They've been following this one back on campus. So I know that this 6 stage of the UAE tour is very, very successful as well. Over 114 cyclists, 28 nationalities competing in this big race. So, you know, the final haul up that Jebel Jais mountain, that is no easy trek. I can tell you that. I did that in my car, and it was challenging. So they're going up there on a bike. So I don't know how they're doing that one. But, yeah, it's certainly a success.
Rossi, unless you've upgraded your car, mate, it's going to be challenging in that little mobile that you used to have. Tom, I think the big thing for the cycling this week, I really think it is a fantastic initiative. But as you say, combining the tours. But unfortunately, the weather hasn't really played into these guys' hands. It's really, really been very, very tough conditions, sandstorms out there. And as I say, it's a bit of a pity that it's putting a slight damper on the event, but I think a great, great initiative for the UAE.
Yeah, taking in all the sights and the sounds of the city and coming to conclusion today. In fact, the final stage started just opposite where we live up at Dubai Safari. We don't live on Dubai Safari, obviously, but near there. But the race started at Dubai Safari and is going to conclude any moment now down at City Walk. So it's been going through the streets and the of Dubai for the final element. And as I said, we'll bring you results as and when we get them here on the show. You're listening to Dubai i13.8. You are listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from the tennis. We're down here at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships as we build up to, 2 hours now, to Roger Federer against Stefanos Tsitsipas.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.